Which button is it? Wait, I probably don't have it on, June, just a second. Well, I'll just tell June. Just, June, advance the slide. Okay, now, this is a history of where we are. This is a typical baby car seat, right? And notice how the child is protected in there, really. And he's sitting backwards. You see, the front seats are in front of him. So we do all we can to protect these little kids in their car seat. Okay, let's click the next slide, June. This is maybe the future of the car seats in the United States. Can you imagine that? A bubble even protecting that little baby? Now, I want to show you the kind of car seat that Nancy and I had when we were raising our kids in later 70s. There we are. You talk about abusive children, right? Now, are kids more safe in the United States today than they were back in the 1970s? I don't think so. It seems like our country is more protective of little children with all these devices, but we know the shocking truth of how our country has declined. You can put that slide off now, June, especially when we consider abortions, child abuse, and sex trafficking, even of little children today. It is, where has our country gone? Now we're living in a time period right now, every night on nightly news, we're seeing what is happening in the Ukraine. I mean, your heart just goes out to these people. And it's just like we're living in the times of the Holocaust right now, when we see the devastation and the cruelty that's being put upon these people. And I'm becoming weary right now of the total number of scams we are facing every day on our phone, on our internet. And lately, because I like to work with my hands, I work on cars and other things like that. Just recently, I had one part that I thought I replaced with a good part and went on to do other things and still wasn't fixing the car. And I found out that the part itself was bad, but I had no way of knowing. I thought I was putting a good part, and it ended up costing me $1,200 more on that car to do other things when the part that I ordered was bad. I had another one that went bad, and just this past weekend, I bought an instrument from Harbor Freight. You'd think that'd be good. I tested that instrument, and I found out later that that new device that they had measuring compression of cylinders was also off by 40 pounds. I mean, it was terrible. I had to return it, and they didn't even blink an eyelash. They just said, oh, yeah, sure. It's kind of like, this is status quo where we're having. You don't know who to trust as far as people telling you the truth. Are they telling you the truth? Can we rely on these instruments and this type of thing? And also, are we seeing the same thing happening in our churches today? Well, we know it is happening. The decline is happening in our mainline denominational churches. Pretty much all of them have a rainbow color out in front of their church, meaning that, you know, we support the gay rights movements and all this type of thing going on. Contrary, regardless of what the Word of God says, this is what our society deems as humanistic or humanism at its best. Well, but we could also ask, is there a decline in our evangelical churches today? Well, instead of breathing smog this morning and being exposed to some of this pollution that we see in our society, let's go to our scripture this morning and get some breath of fresh air. We want to look at the characteristics of a model church in scripture. Even in, turn your Bibles over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So far, we have covered what were the characteristics of model leaders in the church. Paul and Timothy and Silas, they set the stage. They gave the example of what it was like to be good, godly leaders to establish this church, cause it to grow. But then last week, we looked at the characteristics of the people in that church, these Thessalonian believers. And even though this morning is Palm Sunday, and we could preach on that passage, but we emphasized that during the worship. This is the last week that Jesus Christ ministered on the earth. And as we go to Good Friday, of course, you know, we observe that as the day he died on the cross, and then, of course, Sunday morning is Easter. But we are looking at this passage of Scripture just to see the fruit of Jesus Christ's ministry, what he accomplished that final week. Let's begin reading our passage this morning, though. We're looking at verses 8 through 10 this morning, but I want to again read the whole passage. So look at your Bibles with me. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son Jesus from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Well, last week, we looked at the characteristics of these people. And the first thing we pointed out, if we want to have a model church and imitate a church like this, the people, first of all, there have to be a saved people. You know, there are people who, we pointed this out, who say prayers. They may have received Jesus Christ, but their life just doesn't change. These people showed the change of their life. They showed they had a faith that worked. The Bible tells us that you're not saved by works, but if you get the true faith, it will work. Faith alone saves, but the faith that is the living faith, the true faith, the genuine faith, results in good works, and lives are changed. Well, they showed their work of faith and their labor of love. Their love resulted in them working, toiling to the point of exhaustion. Wow. The love for God, and then also for their one another. And then lastly, they showed that they were changed lives by the hope they had. Even though they were being persecuted, they still endured, kept on enduring, steadfast, because of their hope. God had given them a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Well, they were a changed people, and then we said, we know they were saved because Paul said they were elected by God. And we talked about how when they preached the word of God, they dialogued in the synagogue, and they showed how Jesus was the Messiah. Well, it had a powerful effect. And we even went back and we looked at what happened in this country during the what we call the revival period, the Reformation in this country, even during the preaching of Jonathan Edwards. We considered that, how lives, 90 people saved in one moment in a church in that part of England. And all over, the revival fires were sweeping when the word of God came with power in the Holy Ghost. So we saw that they were elect by the way they trusted in Christ and by the way the apostles came to them. Their lives set an example. It was such a strong example in how they lived their life that these people imitated it and they became examples to others. So these people, first of all, were saved people, and then as they imitated the apostles, we call that they were submissive people. They submitted themselves to the word of God. They didn't just recognize it as the word of man, but as the word of God, and these messengers as the apostle of God. So they followed their example as they were following Christ. They were saved people. They were submitted people. Now, we want to look at two more principles this morning, and these are good ones. If we want to see our church be a model church, these are two that we've got to keep in mind. We're going to see that they were a sounding forth people, a sounding forth people. Look at here again. They were boldly proclaiming the gospel. Look at here at verse 8, how it says this. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith toward God has gone, so that we do not have to say anything. This word sound out, sounding forth, is a word that is used of a trumpet blast. It's used of rolling thunder. In other words, they were not silent concerning Jesus Christ. They didn't whisper the gospel. They spoke it loud and they spoke it proud. They had no shame. These believers were both receivers and transmitters. The word of God came to them, and the word of God went out from them. And each believer, now here's the point, and we're going to make really application to these people today. Every church has to be a people that receive the word of God and proclaim the word of God. Okay? You have to have both. Warren Wiersbe said this. A recent survey, and I'm not sure when he said these, but it was in his commentary. A recent survey of church growth indicated that 70 to 80% of a church growth is the result of friends witnessing to friends and relatives witnessing to relatives. While visitation, evangelism, and other methods of outreach help, the personal contact brings the harvest. Why? So 70 to 80%, you tell me, what results in church growth? What is it? People witnessing to their friends, people witnessing to their relatives. That's how 70 to 80% of church growth comes. We need to make application, people, to that. Warren Wiersbe again said, we need more churches today where the people are enthusiastic to share the message of salvation with others. As I write this, he said, 2.4 billion people in our world have no visible witness of the gospel in their midst, or not a church body. In spite of the outreach of radio, television, and the printing press, we are losing ground in the work of reaching the lost. Are you an enthusiastic Christian? Is your church enthusiastic about witnessing? Even as they imitated and mimicked the apostles, these Thessalonian believers evidenced no shame whatsoever in the gospel. You know, Paul gave an example in the book of Romans. He said this, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. Are you and I ever ashamed of the gospel? Paul wrote to Timothy. Timothy was a different personality. And I think Timothy was tempted to be fearful, timid, and to be ashamed. So Paul, when he wrote to him, he said, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God. Stir up the gift that is within you. We need to proclaim the gospel loud and proud. Now, those are just words. They're just words. They don't mean a thing unless we do it. Okay? They don't mean a thing unless we do it. Okay, what about us? Are we also timid to share the gospel with others? What thoughts? I'm just going to give you some of the thoughts that have arisen in my mind when I'm talking to people and dealing with people as to why I might not share the gospel when I probably should share the gospel. How about this? It enters in my mind. I don't really want to give the impression that I'm a redneck, unintelligent type of person. I don't want them to think I'm a Bible thumper. I want them to I'm on the cutting edge of things. Isn't that a terrible thing to think in your mind? And so you don't share. How about this one? I want to build a friendship with this person rather than just becoming alienated for him right or her right away. I think I want to continue with our friendship. I'll have other opportunity to share Christ with them. And so you don't share. Oh, waiting for a future time. How about this one? Surely I need to build a relationship with this person before I unload the gospel on them. I will get better results if I keep the conversation more of a non-threatening type of way. How about that? How about this? You know, I really didn't pray this morning or this afternoon. I need to make sure I'm right with the Lord before I start preaching to him or her. all these thoughts can come into your mind and stop you from sharing what we need to share. I just met this person. I hardly know him or her, and they hardly know me, and I really do not have the time to get in a deep conversation with them or her. Better wait to speak the gospel when I have more time with them. And so we put it off. Excuse after excuse enters our mind, and we put it off. I remember doing a bad job when I tried to witness last time. I don't want to do that again. I know I need to be better prepared. How prepared do we need to be to tell others about Jesus and the gospel? How prepared do we really need to be? Some of these thoughts become magnified when we are dealing with a person who seems to be intelligent, or they're famous or popular or well-known in the community, so we're even more reticent to share. There are all kinds of reasons that pop into our mind of why we might not be able to witness to somebody. But remember, when Paul wrote to Timothy, God does not give us a spirit of timidity. It doesn't. That fear does not come from God. Where does it come from? It comes from our own flesh nature. It comes as Satan whispers in our ear, the world puts its pressure on it. That's where those type of reasonings come from. Consider the subjects that we talk freely about today. Is anybody nervous about talking about the weather? We don't care. We talk about weather. We have plenty to talk about. Are we concerned when we talk about sports? No, man, I can talk about right now. Tiger Woods is playing in the Masters. There's a lot to talk about sports, right? How easy it is for us. How about current events type of thing? These things going on in the crane, all we can talk about. Isn't it a shame? Talk about people and we have communication going on, right? But these Thessalonians talked about the weather or the sports, or I should say they talked about the gospel just like they would talk about the weather or sports or current events. It was out in the open. They were not quiet about it. And you know what? People started to hear. People noticed. Okay? And it started spreading about. So when Paul says that the word of God was loudly sounded out by them, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith to God has gone out, we do not, so that we do not need to say anything. First of all, the Ignatian Way, as you know, that big Roman road ran right through Thessalonica. People were traveling on that road. And then it was a shipping port, so sailors came in and they heard about these believers. And when these three men, Paul and Silas and Timothy, came to Thessalonica, what did the Jews say? The Jews in the synagogue, when they laid out Messiah 3 Sabbath days in the synagogue, and what did they say? These men who have turned the world upside down have come to us now. My goodness, this was pretty early in the ministry, and they have already turned the world upside down, and these Thessalonians imitated them so that their message went out everywhere too. Wow. And this is what these people in these different areas were hearing. They said, they discussed what these Thessalonians were saying. So you can just hear these people saying. Paul and Silas go to Corinth and they said, this is what those Thessalonians are telling everybody. That when those missionaries, Paul and Silas and Timothy, came and told the message about Jesus Christ, they finally found what they'd been missing all their lives. They boldly said that the idols of the Greek were nothing but ugly hunks of junk. They now had discovered the true and living God, and now they were throwing all their gold and silver idols away. They said these gods were all false gods and dead. They spoke very boldly about this, and I'm sure they had to have offended people when they called them false and dead gods. But they were telling everybody, people were reserving will, how they were giving their entire life to the Lord, the living God, plus they were telling everyone that Jesus was returning back to earth and to take them home with him before there was a great judgment coming on this earth. These people knew what the Thessalonians were saying. Now the question for us, let's get a little bit more application on this point. Would our word of testimony also spread further than Lombard if we sounded out the gospel like a blast of the trumpet or a sound of rolling thunder? Would it spread? Now, you know, I'm bringing this point out for great emphasis this morning. It's preaching myself as well as you people here this morning because, listen, I believe Jesus Christ is coming soon. I believe. And so let's go on. You know, let me ask you this question, making it personal. Who is the last person with whom you shared the gospel? If we've had a mic up here and had everybody come up here and say, who is the last person that you shared the gospel with? Now, I'm not talking about that you said, oh, I want to pray for you. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about you going forth telling people that, yeah, I'm going to church this Sunday. Or in your conversation, you said, praise the Lord. Or you encouraged them. That saves nobody. Nobody gets saved by that. You and I have to present the gospel of Jesus Christ and let them know how they become saved. And we need to do it loud. We need to do it proudly. We need to do it often, all the time. That's where our situation, where we cannot be a model church until we do this. You know, yesterday, even as I was, I had some Facebook Marketplace, I was, you know, had to make a purchase. And this is where it was a motor, outboard motor. I needed to change it. It was a used outboard motor. And so I had got a compression so I didn't. And I went down and I met this guy. And I used the compression and the compression and the cylinders were bad. But even more than buying this motor or something, I was concerned about this man. And I had prayed about it before I went down there. But this man had necrosis of tissues around his lungs and heart. He got COVID, and he was in serious condition, but he had this tissue that was dying. He had to go down a few steps. He came back, and he was just sucking for wind. He was saying, and this was a young man. And so I said, now, take it easy, take it easy. But I had to tell him, I can't buy it. The compression is bad. He said, oh, man, that can't be right. If it registered the compression that this instrument says, you wouldn't even be able to start it. And you saw I was able to start it. So later on, I said, well, if you find he had a compression instrument, but he had so many tools in that garage he couldn't find it. I said, if you find out, measure compression on your own. Well, you know, as I left there and I was thinking on my way home, I should have prayed with that man. He had some real sickness. I should have at least prayed with him. But I had a feeling the Lord was not done in this situation. And sure enough, in the afternoon, he said, I found my compression tester. That engine registered in each cylinder 40 more pounds than what your compression tester registered. And I said, I have been running into this. Parts are bad now. New parts are bad. We're living in a crazy time in the United States. I don't know where these parts are coming from. If they're coming from China where the virus came from, I don't know. But the parts are bad. This tester was bad. I brought it back to Harbor Freight. And then I went down with him to pick up the motor again. And this time I made the determination. I told my wife because I was preaching on this and I was having to live with these thoughts myself as I'm looking at the scriptures. I've got to tell him about the gospel. I just can't say I want to pray for you. I want to tell him how Jesus Christ can save him from his sins so he can have eternal life, right? And you know, when I got down there, the situation was not good. You know why? He had another man there. I couldn't talk to him in private, right? And what does that little voice in your mind say? Perhaps there would be a better time to talk now when there's somebody else, right? That's how it always works. But I made up my mind after we got that thing loaded. I said, Ryan, I want to tell you something that's far more important than anything about a motor or anything. And I told him how Jesus Christ had changed my life, that this was God who came in the flesh, this God who made everything that we see, as complicated as can be. He came to earth to rescue us from our sins. He died on the cross for us, but he rose again from the dead, showing our sins were paid for. And every person, I did this, you need to trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So I told him, please trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I did? I told him the gospel. If you and I will do that on a regular basis, we will see people trust in the Lord. We will see our lives change, and we will see their lives change. But let's have a new beginning in this church. I know I've emphasized this in time past, but why is it that we forget it so quickly? When was the last time that you shared the gospel with anybody? You know, I'm afraid to, ashamed to say that before I saved it, shared it with this man yesterday, it'd probably been months. You know, I've had the habit of going to the recreation area. I go to the mall. I will walk the mall. And last time I walked and I talked about many different subjects. And finally I said, this guy's name was Muhammad. Okay, right then, what does that tell you? He's Islamic, Muhammad. And he came from Iran. And we've just been in our Discovery Bible study talking about how to deal with Muslims and how to talk to them about the Lord. We've been dealing with it. But once again, I had the opportunity. I should have told them about Jesus Christ right then and there. But I said, there'll probably be another time. We can invite him because he comes here regularly to walk. Isn't that interesting how that we put it off? That was about 2 weeks ago. But before then, I don't know when the last time it was that I shared the gospel. Let me ask you. Do you want our church to grow? Do you want our church to grow? Let me ask you that. Do you want our church to grow? 70 to 80% depends upon you and I speaking the gospel message to others. Not just saying, I'm praying for you. That's a cop-out. Not just saying, praise the Lord in our conversation. Saying, here, how about this? How about a question to ask people like this? Do you know what the gospel is? You know, when we say the truth of the gospel, or, you know, how is it we say that? Well, what is the gospel? Ask people that question. See if they know. Then you can get a chance to explain what the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is and how they must trust in Christ if they're ever to be saved. Now listen, here's the point of all this. You and I have been blessed with many things. We've been blessed with some money. We've been blessed with some talent. We've been blessed with, you know, time. We still have time. We're healthy. But the most important thing that you and I have ever been blessed with, have ever been given, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the most important thing that has ever been entrusted to our care. Are we burying it in the ground? You remember the servants? Occupied. Jesus told the servants until he comes. He gave his servants different talents. Well, that represented money. But he said, occupy. Make more. Do you suppose if we really were serious about this gospel that entrusted our care, we could see it blossom and create more? You know, here's a law that Scripture talks about. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Do you know, if D.L. Moody was in this church, and he was the pastor of this church, every single one of these pews would be filled. D.L. Moody. But it's not just his testimony. When somebody like the Apostle Paul or D.L. Moody sets the example, others follow. And others bring their friends, and they tell their friends, we've got to get on the same track as these in the past who are so open to share the gospel. You know, in the book of Haggai, it was also said, Israel, when they got their priorities in order, because they weren't laying the foundation of the temple, they were building their own houses, and the Lord wasn't blessing them. But when they got their priorities in order, this is what the Lord said, consider now from this day forward, from the 24th day, right now, the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it, is the seed still in the barn? As yet the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yielded a fruit, but from this day I will bless you. Do you suppose this day on Palm Sunday 2022, if you and I said, no more, we're going to share the gospel starting today, and we're going to take opportunity, do you think the Lord would bless us? I believe he would bless us. He would bless each one of us. If we would make this a serious bit, I'm telling you, it's the most important thing we have laid into our treasure and our trust is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, these people were a sounding forth people, and one of their characteristic And I want us to be like them. But one of the characteristics, they were a Savior waiting people. And it said that the people said everywhere that they turned to God from idols to serve the God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Now you can imagine, this was one of the first letters that Paul wrote. We don't know if this was the first letter, 1 Thessalonians or Galatians was. They were both early. But now we're only talking about, what, 20 years maybe? Maybe even less than that since Jesus ascended. So when they heard about Jesus Christ, and they knew that, well, they knew that James, the brother of John, was put to death, but how about the rest of them? Peter and Nathaniel and Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but Simon, Thomas, all these others went everywhere sharing the gospel. And there were people that were alive today that at that time who saw Jesus ascend into heaven. And the angel came to them and said, he's going to come back again. So these Thessalonians heard that Jesus rose from the dead, and they know that he ascended, and he's got a promise he's going to return again. Paul told them all of this in that time he was with them. He was going to come again and bring them back with him before the judgment came on this earth. And you know what? I think all of them were just, it's going to happen every day. It could happen today. And parents were telling their children, it could happen today. Wow. You know, and another thing about these people, you and I probably don't have any idea what it is to live under idolatry. You know, Psalm 115 describes people who live under idolatry. Listen to what Psalm 115 says. Why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? We don't see their God, but our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. But the psalmist goes on to say, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more, and you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. So we have seen the Lord work. We know he's alive, and these Thessalonians now knew that there was one God, and he was a living God. No more was he a dead idol. And so they were excited. They were looking for, they believed that Jesus Christ was coming. It was a reality for these people. You know, these people, even some of them, we're going to find out, they even quit their jobs. They were so sure that Jesus was going to come, they quit their jobs, and they started becoming busybodies. And the Apostle Paul had to correct them. Jesus said, this is what you're to do, even like the parable of the pounds, you're to occupy until he returns. You know, but how about us, though? You know, it's been almost 2,000 years since this promise of Jesus Christ was given. And you can understand why we say, well, it hasn't come. We've told him it's coming, but where is the coming? What do we have? And we suggested this to you already. We've got fulfilled prophecy. What's happening right now is so exciting because it's a sign that his coming is very soon. It started really, some of these prophecies started when Israel went back to the land and became a nation again. There's so many prophecies connected with Israel, but they're now in the land. And you remember a couple of weeks ago that we talked about the enemy to the north of Israel that's going to come down in Israel, and we pointed out the names of those cities of that country, of that nation that was to the far north, Russia, how it would come down, and their allies. We named some of those allies that are alive today, and our allies of Russia right today. We see these things happening. And so we should understand this is the way it works. There are no signs that have to occur before Jesus, the rapture of the church. No signs. He's coming like a thief in the night. But there are signs for the judgment that's going to come upon this earth. And so, like somebody said, when you see the signs of Christmas, you know that Thanksgiving is right around the corner. No signs for Thanksgiving, but there are for Christmas. And what we're seeing now, these signs that we're seeing, are signs that the Great Tribulation is on its way. Israel is going to make a treaty with the Confederation of European Nations, kind of like NATO. There's going to be the man that's the head of those Confederacy of Nations who's going to be called the Beast, the Antichrist, who's going to make a treaty with Israel. And as we watch Russia, what Russia is doing, I'm telling you, you know, I got a letter. I want to read it just to make us attuned to what's happening. This comes from a believer. It was just posted by Nancy's niece, Terry Lee, who had been in Ukraine, received from Sveta, and she wanted to share it. Greetings, brothers, brother, and all prayer warriors. Thanks a lot for praying and doing all possible to support. The Lord is good to us today. We just praise His sovereign name. Although we keep hearing sad stories and have constant pain for our people, the Lord is good to encourage, and He is always here. A lady from Mariupol shared, my friend was taking people out of the city and left her 12-year-old son with her parents. They were in a basement. She brought some food there and thought they were provided and safe. After another bombing, she went home and couldn't even find the house where the house was. She counted the seventh home from the corner as she thought it was the seventh. And under the room, she found her parents and her son dead. This morning, missiles were directed at a Kramatorsk railway station where the people were waiting to be evacuated. More than 100 were injured and many killed. One young lady from the church was killed from that church, just like one of us in our church, just in front of her mother. Pray for comfort and the Lord's healings from pain. Sorry for keep sharing this. There are a lot of stories like that, and it is such a pain. We just keep trusting our Lord who suffered Himself and overcame death and evil. And we pray to find words to say to the people as we try to help. Sometimes we just cry with them. Our pastor was allowed to visit a military decision. I don't know that word, decision today, to see the soldiers and their governors with short word of gospel. With short word of gospel, small prayer books for shoulders and pies that the church people made. Pray, please, for their salvation, wisdom, and life protection. May God bless each of you and direct the path of everyone as He is willing. May His name be blessed and His will be done in the life of each of His children. Pray also for our brothers who go to Kramatorsk city tomorrow to try help to evacuate people from there. That comes from the Ukraine, fresh from the Ukraine. Nancy and I recently went through a 23andMe genetic testing. I found out I'm 90% Finlander, okay, 90%. I had one grandmother who was apparently from Norway, I don't know, but she spoke Finn. But my DNA is 90% Finn and 10% Norwegian, okay. But I was looking back at the Finnish-Russian War. Did anybody remember the Finnish-Russian War? It was called the Winter War. It only lasted about 3 months. But the same things that Russia did to the Ukraine, Russia did to Finland. Same thing. You know, they accused them of all these, you know, things, and they invaded their territory because they wanted land and that type of thing. And the same thing happened. The Finnish soldiers fought bravely and drove back the Russians. Now, they probably didn't have the extent of the weaponry that the Ukrainians are after faced with the Russians. But they made a peace treaty, and Finland ended up giving 9% of land to the Russians. But there was peace after that. There's more to it than that, but I was just showing Nancy. I said, listen, the Russians are doing the same thing that they are doing now with the Ukraine. And what do we guess? They're going to do the same thing with Israel. Same thing. That's the way they are. And there's no truth at all in what they say. You know, but they send out this propaganda. Well, I want to close by giving you a story that came from the Finnish-Russian War. I can't quote it from, so I'll have to read it from you. It is said that the war between the Russian and Finland, seven Russian soldiers were held prisoners in the town hall in a city of Finland. They were to be shot at sunrise. they were communists and ungodly men. They had hope for neither time nor eternity. We see that, the way they treated some of these Ukrainians, the way they tortured them. They had no fear of God whatsoever. Some of them cursed and beat the walls with their fists until they bled. Others called for their wives and children. But one of the prisoners, the Russian prisoners, started singing in a wavering voice, "Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershadowed, sweetly my soul shall rest. Hark, 'tis the voice of angels born in a song to me, over the fields of glory, over the Jasper Sea." When the verse was finished, one of the fellows spoke up. "Where did you get that, you fool? Are you trying to make us religious?" The singer replied, "Comrades, listen to me. When I first heard that song, I laughed too. But that song got hold of me. It is cowardly," he said, "to hide your beliefs. The God my mother believed in has now become my God also. I lay awake last night and suddenly felt I had to hide in him. Then I prayed like the thief on the cross that Christ would forgive me and cleanse my sin and make me ready for heaven." He said, "During the night, verses from the Bible and from the hymn book came into my mind and brought a message of a crucified Savior and of a home he has prepared for us. I accepted it and I thanked him. Since then, this verse of song has been sounding inside of me. I believe it's God's answer to my prayer. I kept it to myself as long as I could, but within a few hours we will face the firing squad and we'll be with the Lord, saved. I will be with the Lord, saved by grace." His name was Koskinen. Koskinen, it sounds like a Finnish name. Koskinen's face shone as he spoke. There was a silence that followed. Then the silence was broken as one man said, "Koskinen, you are right. If only I knew there was mercy for me too. These hands have shed blood and have cursed God and have trampled all his holy. Now I realize that there is a hell and that is a proper place for me. Please pray for me, Koskinen. Tomorrow I shall die and my soul shall be in the hands of the devil." Then he sank to the ground at Koskinen's feet and Koskinen knelt and both of them prayed together. By 4 o'clock in the morning, all 7 of the Red Communists were saved. At 6 the next morning, when sunrise came, they marched the prisoners out between 2 lines of soldiers to the firing squads. The prisoners requested that they be shot without blindfolds and be allowed to raise their hand to heaven and sing. So the Russian soldiers, with hands raised to heaven, stood before the firing squad and sang, "Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershadowed, sweetly my soul shall rest. Hark! 'Tis the voice of angels born in a song to me, over the fields of glory, over the Jasper Sea." When the shots were heard, they went out. That's it. Their lives were over, but they were with the Lord Jesus Christ. How important it is to be believers who sound forth the gospel courageously. How important it is to be waiting for the Savior who promised to come. It'll sharpen our prayer life. It'll sharpen our witness. So many things the Thessalonian epistles talked about what the coming of Christ will do for us. Let's just look to the Lord in closing prayer. And singers, you can come on up here. Our Heavenly Father, now we don't want this to just be words, Lord. We want to see change. I want to see change in my life, Lord. And may I be a leader that would set an example, Lord. Help me not just to talk about church or use praise the Lord in a conversation or something else that just encourage people. Lord, help me to share the good news by which people can be saved. The powerful gospel. Let it be on our lips. May we speak it loud and proud, Lord. Please help us. I ask you for Christ's glory. Amen.